Chapter 24, Crossing the River Jordan. We have followed the children of Israel through all their wanderings after they left Egypt, and now they stand on the borders of the land of promise. At last they have it in view. 40 long years have passed since they started their pilgrimage. And now the promises of God to Abraham and his children are about to be fulfilled. What a moment! Yet it is not an easy path that is before them. There is much fighting to be done before they can have possession of the land. Already they have had these 40 years in the wilderness, and we must not forget that this was because of their unbelief and distrust of God, and their wicked murmurings against Him. But now that long waiting is ended, and here they are at the very gates of their long-anticipated homeland, although there is still this river Jordan in the way. How are they to cross to the other side of this great river, which was overflowing its banks? For there was such a great multitude, with women and children, the tabernacle and all its furniture, their tents and belongings, and with no boats to ferry them over. What a formidable obstacle! Yes, but this makes room for their God to show His mighty power in working yet another miracle for them. So Joshua said to the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow God will do wonders among you." And God said to Joshua, "This day will I magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee." So the people were commanded to go forward, and the priests went before them carrying the Ark of the Covenant. As soon as the feet of the priests touched the brink of the river, the water which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. Then the priests carried the ark into the midst of the river Jordan on the dry ground, until all the people had passed over. So the river was safely crossed, and this great difficulty in the way of the people was removed. Now Joshua was told to choose 12 men, one out of each of the tribes of Israel, and each one was to take up a stone from the place where the priest stood in the river and carry it on his shoulder across to the other side. These 12 stones were to be taken to the place where they were to camp, which was called Gilgal, and there Joshua set up the stones in a heap. Why did he do this? It was so that the heap of stones should be a witness to their children and to all the Israelites who should come after them, that God had dried up the river and made a way for them to pass over. So when the children of each generation should ask what was the meaning of this heap of stones, they were to be told that it was a witness to prove that God had made a way for the people through the river Jordan. For how could the stones have been carried from the bottom of the river if the waters had not first been dried up? And doubtless the stones would be worn to a round shape by the water, which had flowed over them for so many years, which would show that they were taken out of the river. So this witness was set up as a memorial of the great miracle. Another thing which came out of this miracle was that God showed the people that he was with Joshua, as he had been before with Moses. This was a great encouragement to Joshua that the Lord's presence would go with him in the battles that he had to fight. So we are told that on that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. In this way, God encourages his servants, and when one is taken away, and he will raise up a successor, he often gives evidence to the people that he has appointed the one who succeeds. We find the same thing at this very river Jordan when Elijah was taken up into heaven. You will remember that Elijah was told to anoint Elisha to be his successor. And when they later on both came to the river Jordan, Elijah smote the waters with his mantle, and they were divided, so that they both went over on dry ground. Then Elijah was taken up into heaven, and his mantle fell from him. Elisha took up the mantle, and he also smote the waters, and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" God answered him by making the waters divide again, so that he passed back over the river on dry ground. This was a wonderful sign, an encouragement to Elisha, that he was to succeed Elijah as the prophet of the Lord. And the sons of the prophets saw what had happened and said, "The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha." And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. This showed how they believed God was with him as he had been with Elijah. Now you can read about Joshua at the river Jordan in the book of Joshua chapter 3. And about Elijah and Elisha in the second book of Kings chapter 2. You will find the dividing of the river also mentioned in Psalm 114.